All right, just in time for training camp. New uniforms. To some controversy, Bulldog, would you agree today? The helmets, the uniforms, the whole thing?
There's been some things said.
Been a lot of things said.
Today, yeah, there's been some things said.
A lot of negativity toward these this new look. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. I know, Sal, you were up in Canada for much of today. Were you out of the firing line on this one, or what exactly?
I mean, still poking in on it. We did a podcast last night and talked a lot about it at length, Matt Bove and I. Yep. You can check that out. We gave our thoughts on it and what we kind of thought about it while we were live, and you can, you know, watch the recorded version. You know, I was with some people today. It's for Zach Hyman's event up there, and, you know, and he's a big Bills fan, and people were talking about the uniforms a little bit with me throughout the day. It was going on some Toronto media members that we all know. And so, you know, I guess I got a little bit of it, but not quite to the level you guys did, you know, being on social.
Yeah,
today,
I watched your podcast. I started when it started, and then I paused, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I watched it, and I thought it was interesting that you and Matt both – had the opposite view of the two, like there's the jerseys, the uniform itself, and then the helmet. And if I've got it right, Matt loves the helmet, but doesn't really like the uniform. And you were more like me, at least what you said last night. Like, I kind of like the gray. I'm not against the gray. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it. The helmet with it, I'm really struggling with.
Yeah, I don't love the helmet. I love having, I think you're in Buffalo, you know, to me, a Buffalo Bills helmet should have a buffalo on it. But I understand you want something unique and different. Like, I understand the perspective of mm-hmm. wanting something like that, but it just didn't hit right with me not having a buffalo on it. That being said, the Charge logo, that stripe, has been a predominant theme, really, since the start of the building of the new stadium. Even the mesh that's gone in the new stadium, that, you know, that wind confusion mesh, it's the Charge is the holes, basically. It's the shape of that. When you walk through the stadium, you see that. So I understand, you know, why they did that. The jersey itself, I don't mind gray. And as I said in the pod last night, like, I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to uniforms. I don't love all these new uniforms everybody has all the time. Like, I mean, you know, Oregon was the first, you know, college team several years ago just have all these incredibly new uniforms all the time.
Every week.
And it's like there's too much, right? Like, I don't mind a third or a little bit of a different spin on something, but I'm kind of a traditionalist. In fact, it's kind of funny. Like, I went to Syracuse, and Syracuse and Penn State for many years were rivals, but I actually love Penn State's uniforms because they're clean. They're just all white or all blue. And the gray is fine with me. Like that. And actually, when I saw a picture of a Bills player, I don't know if it was AI or a real picture, like before the unveil today, I said, oh, that actually looks really good. I like that. It is not just sitting on a rack at a hangar where you don't get the full effect. But yeah, I guess the helmet for me was what I didn't love. But Matt loved the helmet a lot more. Like, he really thought that was cool. And I guess it just goes to, it's just like music taste, right? Whatever hits your eyes, your taste buds, your ears.
Your favorite wing place or whatever. Yeah. Someone, I don't think it was Matt, but I saw today, I'd give credit if I could think of who said it, but basically they put, you mentioned Oregon and Penn State in the same breath here, they put an Oregon helmet on a Penn State uniform, is kind of what has happened here. And that's a bit of a weird fit to me. Like, I think I might like everything more if the uniform, even though I like the gray, if the uniform were less traditional to go with the very non-traditional helmet, that would maybe make sense to me. So would a more traditional helmet with what is a pretty traditional looking uniform aside from the color.
Yeah, I totally get it. It seems like it's more of a modern and traditional mixing together, right? And maybe you want one or the other. And like I said, you want to go with a new uniform here, there, I'm totally cool with it. I have my own thoughts on what, like, good new uniforms look like and what get people riled up and jazzed up. And to me, and I don't know if the Bills have ever considered this, but it seems like getting a black uniform is a cool thing. Like, the Eagles have done it, and the Ravens have done it, and the Dolphins now, what do they want to call their really
midnight
dark
blue,
whatever, it's black, right? Yeah, the Jets have done it. It just feels like that's something that, ooh, yeah, the Texans and their real dark blue, you know, something like that. So, but hey, I mean, everybody's got their own thought on it, and you're never going to please everybody. We know that no matter what you do. And I think the Bills know that as well. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how it looks once they trot out on the field. And I agree 100% with your point that you said that, like, once they wear them and Josh Allen's wearing it on the field, like, people will be like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I want one.
They probably should have known already that they can't please everyone, but they found out today if they didn't. you mentioned Penn State. I can never place the name of the magazine, but I, for some reason, still remember this well and have brought it up before. There was a like an oversized, in the 80s, an oversized sports magazine that had a ranking of college football uniforms. And they had the 10 best and the 10 worst. And number one among the best, Penn State. And just a brief description of each one. Something like the definition of class. And then they had the list of the 10 worst. Number one, Penn State. Can't you think of anything? Right. Can't you just think of anything literally at all to put on that helmet? Nothing? Okay, that's the best you can do. Great program.
There you go.
Sal Capaccio on the Westshore Hotline. I mean, I grew up as a kid that would draw the logos and loved helmets and uniforms and all of it. And the Bills have mostly had that same image on their helmets ever since. I mean, since what, the late 70s when they, or mid 70s when they switched to the Buffalo
the
with
charging,
the charging stripe. I don't think I've ever really heard it referred to by name. I mean, I haven't been to the new stadium yet to see this thing, like this whole
charge
imaging.
Stripe. Yeah.
Like I just never even would have thought that the stripe itself
had a name.
Had a name, could be like a logo almost, basically. Like could even be this. And I don't know, it just looks so, I've never thought to separate it from the Buffalo on the Bills logo, you know? It's just like, it's there. It's key to drawing it correctly, mm-hmm. to know just sort of like
what angle to put it
yes.
at.
And,
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, but I'm not even like the least bit familiar with that alone, without the animal, as like any part of the Bills brand. But it is now.
But I think it evolves over the years, right? Maybe it never was, and then it became kind of a thing, right? Where you're like, oh, they started building the stadium, and hey, you know what? We need this mesh in the holes inside the whatever you want to call it, the steel or however.
Yep.
Yeah, and then someone came up with the idea of, like, why don't we do the charge logo, like, or little buffaloes or something, right? And yeah, the charge logo is cool instead of just something square. So that became a thing, right? I remember when the Dolphins changed the look of the dolphin himself going through the hoop or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went from being a happy dolphin to a mean dolphin, right? And that was on purpose. Like, little things like that can matter sometimes, just that little tiny tweak. And yeah, I think the charge, the logo has kind of become a thing, even if it wasn't an actual thing many years ago.
Fair enough.
Sorry, you got me thinking about the dolphin logo used to look like a dolphin performing at a water park. Like, I'm happy, I'm jumping through the hoop, and then they changed it to like more aggressive. I can only imagine what the wording in the press release for that looked like or read like.
Right.
But yeah, it was like more streamlined and like it's attacking. It's not, it's hunting prey or something, as opposed to just trying to please everybody, which is what the original logo. Probably it was too nice.
Now they took the helmet off it on the Dolphins logo.
Right.
They removed the helmet with the
right.
M on it. All right, well, we have something new to argue about. Sal Capaccio with us. Training camp this week. We are just about here. So what's the schedule tomorrow? Just players report and then on the field Wednesday?
Yeah, so players report, and then that's when they'll do their testing, guys. I mean, like, that's the first day, because, you know, we know that because they can't test on Wednesday. There's practice on Wednesday morning. They're not going to be out there doing that, I wouldn't think, at like 6 a.m. So they'll do their physicals and stuff tomorrow and their testing. And if people don't pass that and, you know, aren't in a position to be able to practice, we'll find that out. Now, it could be tomorrow night we find that out. It could be Wednesday morning. I think generally, since, you know, I've been covering the Bills, at least now it is a different regime, but, you know, Brandon Bean's still there, obviously Joe Brady, but it's generally been we find out the morning of, but it has happened the night of the night before. Whereas you find out someone's on PUP, you find out someone's on, you know, got an issue, they didn't pass a physically unable to perform in some capacity. So that's what happens tomorrow. And then Wednesday morning, we will hear from Joe Brady at 8 a.m. They'll be on the practice field at 8:30, and then Brandon Bean will speak afterward.
Do you have top of mind guys who maybe went through the spring stuff with various ailments? I feel like Dorian Williams would be at the top of such a list, that, like, guys you're kind of on the lookout to hear a clean bill of health or something else on.
Yeah, I think the number one guy for me would be Michael Hoyt, actually, because of kind of his progression through the offseason, from the you know, OTAs, mini camp, where he was last year with the injury and him saying, like, my goal is to be ready for training camp. Like, and I say that number one for me because I'm just curious. Like, is he ready already? So I mean, if he is, I think it's remarkable, to be quite honest with you.
Happens now, you know?
Yeah, Sal, right.
And Daniel Jones today said he was going to be ready. He tore his Achilles late.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, we'll see about him. So, to me, that's the number one, like, intriguing thing. Mm-hmm. At some point, Michael Hoyt's going to come back as long as he doesn't have a setback. So, that could be a week in the training camp. That could be at the end of the preseason, in the regular season. And then, yeah, Dorian Williams is the one that this showed up during mini camp when he did not perform. And we knew he was on crutches and saw him. But he was at a couple of events over the last couple months. One of them was the Poncho's Army meat raffle that I attended. I know he was seen at the Taste of Country by a couple people. He was not using crutches, which is a really good sign. That doesn't mean he's ready to play, but I'm encouraged by that. We'll see what happens with him. Cole Bishop had something cleaned up in his knee and did not perform at all during OTAs and minicamp. He was very certain that he would be ready to go. He said he was staying in Buffalo to rehab, basically, to make sure that everything was, you know, good to go by the time he got there. So those are a few of the guys. Joshua Palmer did actually participate in minicamp after missing most of OTAs, if not all of them. So, you know, that's another guy you kind of on the lookout for. And I think there's just the usual suspects of, are these guys healthy? Are they good? Dalton Kincaid, you know, the load management stuff that came up with him. Not that we're expecting anything, you know, to be wrong tomorrow, but just thing you're looking for. And is he healthy enough? Is he taking a full amount of reps? Max Harrison, after having his injury early in the season, late in the season, and then, you know, coming back, and he was at OTAs and minicamp. So just guys like that you're kind of on the lookout for.
Might want to get back to Kincaid. He was the first name I thought of for this, but although he's not coming off like an injury exactly. But, you know, it's always kind of part of the story with him. But Palmer, I wrote down for Sal's visit today, just in my notes here, before I forget, colon, Joshua Palmer. That's it. Just I wanted to make sure I remembered mm-hmm. Joshua Palmer, because he's this year's Curtis Samuel to me, somebody that I just...
Yeah.
It's always Coleman. It's always DJ Moore. It's always, you know, Shakir and whoever else. But, okay, right, Palmer. So this will be for Wednesday, if he's healthy at least. This will be for Wednesday is like... I mean, maybe this is the kind of thing that you're not supposed to share, maybe? Like, just who's with Allen? You know, who's with the ones? Maybe, you know, Palmer could be news either way on that one.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I mean, he did perform. He was available during minicamp. So I'll say this. If he's not available Wednesday, that's a huge red flag. I mean, he was out for OTAs. He came back from minicamp. And then suddenly, what, he's out again? Like, you're like, okay. But you just can't count on this guy, and you have to start thinking about alternate plans then. For me, the story with Josh Palmer is more of a, I guess I'll call it long-term, like through training camp. Like at the end of camp, where is Josh Palmer? Not at the beginning. I want to know, what is his role? How does he look? What does that group look like? But he's in the group with Keon Coleman for totally different reasons. It's not an injury situation with Keon Coleman. It's doing everything right. Is he making plays? Does he look like a third-year, 33rd pick overall of the NFL draft, right? I mean, like, that's what I'm looking for. Those two guys are really, really key members of the offense and how the offense will be structured from a roster standpoint, because you got Skylar Bell right behind them knocking on the door. Oh, by the way, let's add him to the list. Skylar Bell was not at minicamp. I think people forget about that. I just forgot about that talking about it. He had an injury at minicamp, but he was inside working with trainers and the jugs machine. I'm not too concerned, but he's a rookie and he wasn't out there. So, go beyond Moore and Shakir, there are question marks all throughout the rest of the wide receiver group. And honestly, like, it's a really big swing depending on how many of those guys are healthy and look good and can do what you need them to do versus how many guys don't.
Yeah, and if I wasn't specific enough, I just want to know if he starts, you know, if he's in the – It's right. Not the lineup, but if he's like on the field for the first team reps, or is that Coleman instead, or whoever that might be instead, like Palmer, assuming he's healthy enough to participate. All right. Is he a starter? You know, that's all questions.
Well, I mean, like, it would be big news if he weren't, I think.
Yeah, let me ask you guys this. If he's not, does that say more about Josh? If he is or he isn't, I should say, does it say more about Josh Palmer or Keon Coleman, how that goes?
Right,
well, that depends.
If Coleman's in Palmer's spot, like, if that's obviously stock way up on Coleman, maybe stock down on Palmer, and then we start talking about Brandon Cooks every day.
That's right. I just think those two guys are so interesting. the most interesting person at this camp, I think, is, you know, for this year is Keon Coleman right now because of all this. It's just so much of kind of how that group looks really kind of hinges on, I think, how he looks, what he does, how he performs. And quite honestly, we might not know that until the regular season begins. And that's what's going to be maybe frustrating about all of it, because even if he looks great over the next 4 weeks, it is very, very fair for any person to say, I don't care. Show me the regular season.
Sal, on Kincaid, I don't know if you'd have a number at the ready, but listed 6'4", 240, right? And then we get through a season and he's banged up and we need him stronger or just, I don't know.
Bigger. Yeah.
Whatever it is, that'll be a story too. I mean, if he's healthy, great. You'd want to see that. But then also, like, is he different? Is he bigger? Is he different? I mean, is there a weight or a certain thought you have on what's ideal?
I don't know about a certain number as far as a weight, as you say. I will say that, like, standing next to him during minicamp, after practices, I think he looked like an NFL tight end. Like, he looked bigger. He looked more like, he's not Dawson, right? But he looked more like Dawson Knox than he did a wide receiver coming into the league. Like, that's a good thing. He looks like he put on strength and muscle. Now, I think we said that last year about him. It's not that, though. It's the knee that was bothersome. But the other thing, he wasn't wearing a knee brace those last few days, which was really good as well. But I do think he looked bigger. And guys, I actually think he blocked pretty well last year when he was asked to do that. You know, he's not always digging guys out of the box, but he's on the perimeter sometimes, and he does a nice job. And, you know, I think sometimes it's unfair to think about, well, he's got to be a really good blocker. Yes, that's true, but he's not. Like, he doesn't have to be an in-line, hand-on-the-ground, down-blocking blocker, but he's got to be willing and capable and to be able to go against guys that are, you know, his size or less and make sure that he wins that rep. And I think he did a good job of that last year when he was on the field.
I remember certainly the opener. I mean, it's a long season. There were 16 other games, but I remember a couple of plays early in the Baltimore game where he was very aggressive with DBs at the sideline, and I'm sure we talked about it then. That it seemed like he was trying to make an impression, at least, that he's willing and able to perform that if asked.
And he is, and I think he is. I think part of it is on the team, though, and rightfully so. They probably have concerns about, if we do that too much, what are we doing to his body?
Right.
Like, we need him available to catch passes and run down the field. And I think there's a delicate balance there, but that's the kind of thing that we're all talking about here and how that works out. Now, look, he had his fifth-year option picked up, which is not this year but next year. So he's under contract for 2 more years. They have an investment in him. They want to see that through. They want to keep him healthy. But he's also got to be able to do all of those kinds of things to justify kind of that investment they're putting in him.
Always one for me where I feel like I'm getting stuck at every turn. You know, he catches the ball. He's talented. When he is running routes, he gets the ball. I mean, he's, for a tight end, he ranks high in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But if I need him to be bigger so that when he's on the field, I can have him put his hand down and block on, you know, in the running game so that teams don't know what I'm doing, because they throw almost 80% of the time when he's on the field, right, without Knox. The coaches they hate that stuff. They don't want to give it away. Right. I've got Jackson Hawes over here, you know, who can just road grader type, and he was a little bit interesting as a receiver as well. A lot has to go right, just for the player physically, and then also for the fit, because it just has never really been smooth with him. There have been good moments, but it's just never really been smooth. So we'll see if this year is any different in that way. There's one where I need to get to week one. I mean, whatever happens that changes that between now and week one would only be negative. It'd be like, well, he's, you know, missing practice or whatever that is. But just like you said about Coleman, got to get me to the season and,
that's right,
you know, see what it looks like then. All right. Anything else on your mind for tomorrow and for Wednesday, I guess, maybe more importantly, with Brady in his first training camp as the head coach and whatever else?
Yeah, like, Mike mentions that with Brady's first time. Like, I'm curious if we'll get the welcome to training camp speech on social media from them with Brady. Like, I'm just curious, because a part of my sort of concern is even not appropriate. It's just, I'm curious, like, how comfortable he is and how well, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to captivate, you know, in this case, it's going to be, what, 90 guys, not just like your 53 plus the practice squad like it would be in the regular season. And, like, I watched a clip, I don't know if you saw it, Sal, last week with the Giants starting up earlier. I watched John Harbaugh, who's done that 18 times with the Baltimore Ravens, and it felt like an SNL skit. Like, it just seemed really flat and weird, and and that's someone who's done it again almost 20 different times as a head coach of a team. It's not, you know, I just don't assume that that's going to go, you know, great.
I have not seen that. Now you gave me some homework to do tonight and go watch that from John Harbaugh, so I'll check that out later today. Yeah, I mean, Joe, I think we'll say that. I'll say this about Joe Brady. He seems more and more comfortable, you know, in front of a mic or behind it talking to the media, like, as he goes on here. We all know he's a super energetic guy, and he's willing to kind of just talk, you know, more than McDermott being open. And even during the draft, guys, I don't know if you know this, but, like, the 3 days that we were down there, the Thursday, the Friday, and then the Saturday, like, well before the draft actually started, like, Joe Brady just walked in the media room, like, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Like, what do you guys think about tonight? You know what I mean? Like, he's just, I think he's comfortable being like that. So I think that if he wants to give some sort of rah-rah speech, welcome to training camp, you know, I think he's up for it. And I think the reviews from his players and all the podcasts they're doing, all the things you hear about him, that they love, you know, the energy that he brings right there. So I think that'll be fine for him. For me, you ask me, like, what I'm thinking about, what I'm looking at. Yeah, that's a little part of it. It's a new defense. It's first time in 10 years the Bills have had a new defense. They have a new defensive coordinator. I mean, I know the names have changed and Leslie Frazier and all that, but
yeah.
You know, Jim, this is Jim Leonard's show, man. And, like, I'm really interested to see how that starts to come together because we have not seen that in 10 years.
Also, plenty of new numbers. Make sure you have what you need to know.
Scorecard.
A scorecard, right. Including Tyler Bass, who maybe sold his number two
to DJ Moore,
and now is wearing number 16. So look for Tyler Bass. There's another guy we haven't seen.
Can't do. I think, you know, there's still that last little bit that you're working to get back, but I feel good in the next, you know, month or so as I get into team drills, 11-on-11, doing everything again of that, coming back and feeling 100%. So, like I said, continue to work with the trainers here and strength staff, you know, all the things I need to do to get there, but feeling really good.
Daniel Jones. I think his injury came pretty late in their season, Indianapolis. Sal mentioning Michael Hoyt. First name, when asked about who to sort of look for in the next couple of days and news on players that may be injured. Hoyt had a torn Achilles. It was against Kansas City.
Right.
In week 9 last year, November 2nd. Achilles, it really, I think, has changed.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like the exception anymore, Daniel Jones. It seems like the rule now is that it's like an 8-month injury.
When Rodgers got hurt on opening night 3 years ago, it seemed insane to be considering. It felt like this is a Rodgers production. It's a publicity stunt. He just wants us to talk about him, that he thought he could be back before the year ended. But it turns out maybe like his injury just coincided with the advancing, you know, whatever, care for such an injury and the rehabilitation for such an injury. And they're also all not the exact, you know, the severity of the tears can be, I would think, a factor too in that and how quickly you can come back. But it seemed crazy that that was even being talked about. But now in hindsight, it maybe didn't, just because it was Rodgers, it was maybe more annoying, but maybe factually it was fine.
Well, I still think I was being played. We were being played.
Sure, yeah.
But because it was 3 months. But you're right. I mean, that fair point. Maybe it is now possible that you could play even in the same
year. So Hoyt got hurt in November, early November, right? November 2nd, you said?
Yep.
And he's on the field in May, participating in minicamp, right? He had done stuff on the side, but he was six months. So, I mean, that's... But that's crazy. You know, that injury was just, what year are we talking about here? Like late 90s? Like, that was a death sentence for Sam Cowart. He suffered a torn Achilles maybe in his third year. It was early in his career. He looked like
linebacker.
A fantastic, promising player for the Bills, and he just was never the same. But here we have guys that are coming back all the time from that injury now.
Yeah, running backs. When I was getting serious about fantasy, you had, I think Royce Freeman might have been one. Cam Akers had a torn Achilles and maybe another one. He might have had the same injury twice, but it's like, yeah, you can cut them. They're not coming back. And they both did.
Like, yep. I remember with Akers specifically that it seemed incredible that he was back when he was back.
Yeah, right. He played in the playoffs after having been injured. I don't know if it was the same year, but yeah, that's right. It's how I remember it too. Has by the way, just to find out, has word reached you that I joined a new fantasy league? Did you know that?
I don't even those notifications it broke my notifications. Like I don't get notified anymore because it happened so frequently. It wore it out.
I see.
It wore out.
You have it set on your phone that you get normally.
I get told
before now.
Yeah.
Before recently, before you disabled it, you would get some sort of news item.
I got a weird message late last week that it was like overload.
Okay.
No, I saw it. What did you do?
I thought it was funny. I went with that. Wouldn't that be great if Bulldog got like breaking news on his phone that I had joined a league? Oh, I wish I could somehow make that happen.
I get less useful stuff sent to my phone all the time, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this would maybe top the list, but... So, no. It'll be my first league with Zach.
Oh, well, how about that?
Yeah.
Look at you guys.
So, I was with Mr. Callie.
Okay.
On Saturday.
All right.
And he mentioned that there's a work league, and we have one opening. And I'm like, I wasn't looking for this. I was not looking for this.
I want to say whether I flatter myself to assume that I could have been considered, but I feel like if I wasn't, I've done something right.
Well, Owen's in it.
Right. So, if Joe asks, hey, why don't you ask your dad? And Owen Price said, no. Dude, no, I'm not going to ask my dad. I like my dad. I want my dad to like me.
Well, you know, like... I have no problem being in it with the guys at work.
Sure.
I'd enjoy it. But then I asked, this is going to sound so bad. I asked my wife and Joe's mom were sitting at the table. Joe was my nephew. And the four of us are sitting there and this is brought up. I don't think he exactly invited me, but he's like, you know, if you want it, you could probably, we can arrange this. And so, I sort of looked around the table and was getting, looked at back. And I asked the question, how much is it? And Joe's like, $20. I'm like, oh no. Now what have I done? This is going to sound bad. I told you. Now I've joined a league for $20.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like a dollar a week of entertainment. And the thing about this, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but the thing about a league where you pay $20, Joe might have even said we were going to do 10. 10.
What's the payout there?
What's the pay? 80, what do you get if you win?
$80.
Yeah, something like that. You know, it's an evening out.
Yeah.
But fine. The thing about that is, it can get fishy. Like it can get weird if you can't play poker for nothing.
Right.
Because I'm all in. You know, like just
yeah.
People just don't
right
for that kind of money.
You don't get to treat it the same. Yeah.
You might not take it seriously.
Right.
And that scares me a little bit. But I'm in. I did it. I said yes.
If it's a work league, the people here have got professional work, on-air bragging right pride. Like they right. will not. They Content. Will not just me. On the other hand, like,
no pride.
No, don't care.
No professional pride.
I'm begging you to mock me for how bad my fantasy team is doing. Yes. I don't care. It means nothing to me.
We will not be wearing gray uniforms. I can tell you that. My team.
Good for you.
Would never.
Good for you.
How did gray even get thought of? Who's to blame? Detroit? The Bills, no offense. The Bills people looked at the Lions in those gray, chin-to-toe uniforms and thought, yes. And that's incredible to me. Like, you've actually seen it on an NFL field. Did they even play Detroit once when the Lions were?
Maybe.
You like them?
I like the Lions uniforms, the gray ones. I like these. I like the gray. I'm not anti. I like the gray.
Did Detroit put theirs with a blue helmet too? Maybe.
I don't remember now. They do have a bright blue helmet that I've seen them wear. I'm just not sure if it's with that gear.
I think they might have, but
It looks very similar to that. Whenever a college team even goes, and I hear like Zach's over here tweeting about Maction Tuesday nights and whatever, and I hear it, I understand. You give me a college, like Ole Miss comes out in all gray with a red helmet, which I think they've done. Man, I'm 100% here for that. I think it really it works for me.
The blue and the gray,
yeah,
it sort of works in the South.
Yeah, maybe
the Rebels.
Yeah, that might hit a little too close to gray, but I like that. I'm not at all upset about the color of the new kit. It's for me, it's fine. I recognize that a lot of people feel visceral anger and hatred toward it, and I'm not here to tell you should change your mind. For me, I saw like, oh, everybody's mad at this. Why does everybody hate gray? What did gray ever do to anybody?
No, nothing good. That's what gray ever did to anybody. Just nothing good.
Is the worst thing you say about gray is that it doesn't want to choose. It's what's in between black and white. And so it's like,
you're going gray. Is that a compliment?
Right? It's sort of nondescript.
No, it's not a compliment.
You know?
I see you're going gray. Thanks. Yeah, no, that's not a compliment.
No.
I just have never thought of it or hardly ever seen it as a sports uniform color. Like, it's whoever wears gray.
Which,
I guess baseball, Yankees. Baseball teams on the road.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. The point you just made, though, about no, why do it? Nobody does it. Okay. Do it.
That's why?
Yeah. For me, like, it stands out.
$20.
$20. Yeah, what is Paul's? Like, 50? I don't even know.
It's at least 50.
I think it's 50, yeah.
Yeah. And that's not too cheap.
No.
I think maybe that's the number.
Yeah.
For me. I think maybe that's the number. But when he said, after I agreed to play, when he said that, like, oh, no, $20, you pay him in quarters. No, you know, in honor of today, nickels. I'll go get $20 in rolls of nickels. Nah, come on, I'm just kidding. I'm happy to do it. It'll be fun. I get to play head-to-head with Zach and with Joe and Owen for, yeah, among others. Here is Zach with us on the West Shore Hotline. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just opinion on the jerseys. I want to defend it, but also criticize it at the same time. I understand the marketing aspect behind it, something new. It's my Oregon, gets all these new jerseys. They had to do something a little different. But I also think, like, they've missed the mark these last couple of years where they could have come out with the 90s, late 80s, 90s iteration of the blue home jersey. A little different than what they wear now. I know it's not a ton different, but mm-hmm, it definitely is different. If you see somebody walking in a Thurman Thomas jersey or a Jim Kelly jersey, it's definitely different. Numbers are different. And mid-90s, they put the red collar on. I mean, people who are into jerseys definitely recognize that kind of stuff. And there definitely was some, money to be made there. And I feel like they missed the mark. Yes, it's the red helmets, but those jerseys, would have sold. I just wonder, do they not listen? Do they not... they not care.
I think there's a pretty easy answer to this. We had this conversation earlier, Zach, and it's because people already have them.
Yeah, it's not new.
So they want to sell new stuff. If I have that Thurman Thomas jersey, I don't think I'd need another one. So,
I caught you guys saying that, but it would be new in a James Cook number 4. It would be new.
That's right.
In a Josh Allen 17. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, maybe there's something to be said for leaving that design for those teams. Those are the best teams. The current iteration of the Bills is very talented, but I mean, 4 straight Super Bowls, right? I mean, the Hall of Famers up and down, including the coach. I don't necessarily need the Bills of 2026 running around in the gear that Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly wore. Like, those are their jerseys.
It's already pretty close.
So I don't know. I know that would have been popular. I'd love to know if they had a way to like market analyze this, what they would have thought or what a equation would have spit out as a result of which do you think you'd sell more of. Is I'll bet they are going to sell $1 million worth of this stuff. I mean, it's expensive. That's a good place to start. But people are going to buy it.
If they do sell $1 million of these jerseys, that'll be $999,000 in profit.
Right.
As well. So there's, you know, I think it's probably a really lucrative thing.
For and, sure.
I mean, maybe somehow you can get a 90s style jersey with the current guy's name on it, but don't. Never do that.
No, that's
never
like
cross that, the streams. That,
that's like a navy blue parole jersey.
Right.
Like, just, no.
They exist.
Please don't do that.
Sorry, but.
Yeah, no.
I think a jersey should be authentic to
its era.
Who wore it when. You know, that's.
Yeah.
You want it to be like look like it could have been worn in a game. As close to that as is possible or affordable. Don't, you know, go mixing up eras, though. Thank you, Zach. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this. This is WGR.